There's nothing special about being American. None of you can define for me what an American is.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, Davy Crockett.
Coming to you from the D-Tom Studios in the free state of Florida, sponsored by Maker's Mark Bourbon. This is Don't Tread on America. I'm your host, Don, still on vacation queue. Let's go. How's everybody doing out there today? It is Thursday, March 14th, 2024. And yes, I am still on vacation. Let me take a sip of some bourbon here up in the great state of Kentucky. You should get some too. Maker's Mark. All right, guys. Couple of things real quick, and then we're going to get to the show here. I'm doing a show today about the Vril Society, V-R-I-L, Vril Society. Have you ever heard of them? Do you know what they are, who they are, where they came from? Stay tuned to find out. Well, let's get some of the business out of the way first, guys. Please, whatever podcast app you're listening to this on, guys, please make sure, number one, you're following the show and that you share this with your friends. And then you burp into the microphone. I don't know if you heard that, but sure, water. If you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, guys, if you could please give me a rating there. Ignore the bodily functions. You know, it's just to do with a full-time job. Look, I'm relaxing. I'm drinking a drink. I'm doing a show. So make sure you give me a 5-star. And if you want to give me a review, that'd be great, too. Also, if you're on social media, you can follow us at Don't Tread on America on Facebook, Instagram, True Social, and the Ticker Talker. And also on the Twitter X machine there at DTom_1775. And if you're not on social media, that's fine. You can check us out at DontTreadOnAmerica.com. And if you are so inclined to email me, you can hit me up at DonQ@DontTreadOnAmerica.com. That's the email address, DonQ@DontTreadOnAmerica.com. And guys, let's not forget about our sponsors here. They help me bring the magic to you. That's Reaper Apparel Company. Check them out at ReaperApparelCo.com. Use the promo code DTOM. Get 10% off. And also don't forget about the self-anointed DTOM store. There is a promo code. You can use DTOM, but you get free shipping automatically. So that'll outweigh the 10%. So check both those places out. And patronize. Patronize? Is that the right word? Anyway, spend some money. Alrighty, let's get down to business. I got to get the spooky, dark ambience music playing in the background because we're going to talk about the Vril Society. So, what is the real society? So, the real society, am I right? A little-known occult group may have been an inspiration for one of the most terrifying ideologies of the 20th century. It formed a dark fellowship that was established nearly 100 years ago. It seems that its original members believed that they could live below the Earth's surface and fly to distant stars. Their power would be mysterious substance called Vril. They also believed that one day they would take over the world, and they came very close. The mysterious group claimed influence in the highest ranks of the German power structure in the 1930s. This dark fellowship may have been a Nazi cult. I'm going to blow this up so I can make it bigger and read it. You know, I'm getting old. The stories of history's dark fellowship strike fear into many hearts. But what are the truths behind the stories? Throughout history, there have been secret organizations striving for influence in political circles. But if the bizarre legends about the Vril Society are true, the organization is particularly unsettling. The Vril Society's most mysterious German secret society ever in history. They were originally founded before the Second World War, and their influence reaches out even till today. Its members are said to have included senior figures in the Nazi Party like Hermann Göring, Heinrich Himmler, and even Adolf Hitler himself. The Vril Society was a dark fellowship. They sought to achieve the mastery of the Aryan race before they were able to influence the Nazis. Vril occultists worked in complete secrecy, doing anything to promote Aryan power. What they did that ranged from straightforward political assassinations, trying to vote the spirits of the dead, good old-fashioned, what one might say, sexual orgies, and more sinisterly, secrets of the Vril Society. So before I go on, I just want you to be, as I'm going through this, now I've been researching this for a while. I've actually been wanting to do this show for a while, but I didn't want to put up a bunch of articles and whatnot. So I wanted to write this and put a bunch of different things. Like I saw some different videos and different articles, and I wanted to get it all put together. But the reason I'm doing this is because now this is obviously something that happened over 100 years ago. This is back in the early 1900s. Now, as I went through a lot of this research, what I tend to notice was the way. Like, this was about the Nazi Party and the Aryan race, and we were always told the Aryan race was about blonde hair, blue-eyed, white people. And you'll come to find that that's not necessarily true. But just the powers that be in all of this, I can really make the connection to today. So just stick with me. This will be exciting in the long run, so trust me. So, Michael Fitzgerald is one of just a few historians willing to identify the secrets of the Vril Society. Few records exist, but he claims first-hand sources. Some of his information about the Vril Society has come from direct sources. Some of them swore him to secrecy during their lifetime and have now died, so he is free to offer his assessment of the Vril Society. So they were a group of people founded at the end of the First World War and included many people who were to go on to become prominent in the Nazi Party. Like any secret society, it had its secret practices. But what made the Vril Society so unique was its members' obsession with an intangible power force called the Vril. the power was universal energy, that they could do anything. All parents of harm and healing and so on were enclosed within its similar, it's very similar to the Indian concept of prana, in many ways of the Chinese concept of qi. Chinese philosophers believed that qi is the life energy that runs through all of us. All the real society believed they could harness this energy, and they could, and they believed that real power could be used to gain material power. So they were frantically searching for this vril force. Dutchman Theo Ponmans, I think I'm saying his name right, has dedicated 25 years of his life to studying the vril society. His research has established that assertive bureaus in Nazi Germany were frantically searching for this new energy. Obtaining supernatural power might require supernatural efforts. They sought the power of the vril through a variety of different means. They were naturally meditative practices, which were obviously the mainstay of most of their activities, but they weren't meditating to gain inner peace. The theory is that they practiced these meditation techniques in order to further the strength of the vril in themselves. If it was a strength that could potentially dominate the world, wouldn't the members of the vril society have done more than esoteric meditation to attain it? They were also very involved with what Michael loosely obtains to, I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for, but it pertains to sex magic. There's an enormous history of sexual magic going back to witches. The witches using sexual powers, this is nothing new to the members of the society. They are said to have used the magic of sex to summon the power of the vril. There were some sexual practices that went on in the vril society. This carnal method of harvesting vril was less magical and closer to an excuse for swapping partners. In a basically they was just in a group sex. And meditation couldn't really be considered evil and were not exactly unique in the early 20th century. But the vril society may have had more sinister rituals. The darkest side of the vril was undoubtedly their belief, that which dates back many thousands of years, that to sacrifice a young child will give more power than anything else. If you're turning to darkness, and that is what they did after the First World War. Many illegitimate and orphaned children lived in Bavaria, children whose disappearance would go unnoticed, and legend had it that the vril of the child was the most concentrated and most powerful. So I'm going to stop right there. What does that sound like in today's terms? We talk about Pizzagate, and we talk about these different situations with Hydrenochrome, right? Is that the word I'm looking for? Where they take the baby's blood, you know, and so on and so forth. And, you know, and it's almost like they're putting it in your face nowadays. Like Biden even said, oh, the Bidens drink baby's blood. And, you know, and it's like, are you joking? Are you serious? I don't know. And that's where this is something that was 100 years ago. And it dates back further than that. But when we're talking about the Nazis, obviously, we're talking about 100 years ago. But just hang on. I don't want to get ahead of myself. They were seen as being gateways between the astral and the material world in a way that adults were not so consequently. They were ideal victims for human sacrifice. Human sacrifices to harness the intangible energy. Where did the vril notion come from? The bizarre concept had been hijacked and distorted from a science fiction novel after the First World War. A bizarre cult called the Vril Society flourished in Germany. It took its name from the supernatural force vril that could be bestowed immense power on anyone who could harness it the concept of real. It was expounded in a book published in 1871 called The Coming Race, written by Edward Bulwer Lytton. In the book, he describes an underground race called Vrilya, and they have complete mastery of the Vril force, and where death can do almost anything. It was pure science fiction, but it captured an audience and made them firm believers in Vril. It feeds directly into the origins of science fiction as a mass popular phenomenon in 1871. Sci-fi was so new that some accepted the story as fact, but the gist is that the hero becomes, because caving, he fails through the cracks and finds himself in a subterranean world inhabited by a race of super human beings called the Vrilyar, who live down there and who have access to this magical energy. This is strange electrofluid called Vril. Vril gives them the power to do almost anything. They can use it to heal. They can use it to kill. They can also destroy mankind in a blink of an eye. And anyone who harnessed this power could weld it in protagonists find out in the course of the novel that the child could use Vril to destroy an entire city. So imagine if this Vril actually existed and got into the wrong hands. Could it be that some aspects of Nazi philosophy stem from ideas in a science fiction novel? Lynn's novel, The Coming Race, in many respects precursors at least some of the ideology that led to the final solution. This superior race, which is explicitly linked in the book with the Aryan races, manifested and controlled struck a call in Europe, particularly in following the devastation suffered from World War I. Some Germans desperately wanted to associate themselves with such a superior race. Perhaps nobody could believe that the science fiction was fiction. The end of the book comes with a very serious warning. These subterranean keepers of the Vril could destroy mankind should they come up and decide. They wanted to colonize the surface of the planet. We would be doomed if it may seem kind of tabloid truth that one would expect to find in a sensational newspaper. But the Vril Society really were consciously dedicated to the service of evil, and by their impact on the founders of the Nazi Party, they installed that evil into senior leadership of what was to become the most evil regime in 20th century. Most sources say that the Vril Society was founded in 1918 at a mysterious meeting in the Bavarian town of Berchtesgaden. It is a holiday center and would later house the country retreat of Adolf Hitler. It is said in a mountain lodge, a group of occultists and high-ranking German nationalists secretly gathered to create a powerful inner circle called the German Society of Metaphysics, otherwise known as the Vril Society. Essentially, it was founded by two people, Rudolf von Zieventalf. Von Zieventalf had been very active in the occult movement. He was a Freemason, an alchemist, and a founder of the Thule Society. Their belief in a mystical civilization was a precursor to Nazi Aryan ideas. Real name was Adam Glauer, and who's the son of an engine driver, that he awarded himself a title of nobility in creating the Vril Society. Zieventendorf, German, right? was joined by a man who was darkly influenced world history. The other main person within it was Dietrich Eckart. He was said to have strong powers of persuasion, particularly with his anti-Semitic writings. Dietrich Eckart was Hitler's closest personal friend between 1918 and 1923, or until his death in 1923. Eckart believed he was paving the road for Germany's own savior. He was in many respects a mad genius. It's no accident he spent a great part of his time in and out of mental institutions. The founder of the Vril went by a very curious name, John the Baptist. And as we all know, that in the Bible, John the Baptist is a sort of paper on the road for a true Messiah. Eckart was also one of the masterminds behind the Nazi Party. Eckart saw Hitler as a German Messiah. He saw him as the man sent to save the country. And he wasn't the only Vril founder who felt that way. It has been suggested that these two men were joined by two women mediums responsible for finding the hidden occult truths and harvesting Vril. In those days, it was the golden age of what was known as physical mediumship. Were not only where they forever moving objects and table turning, the photic levitating, but also they used to produce a substance called ectoplasm out of their bodies. One of these mediums is said to have predicted the new German Messiah, Juha, state of trance. She declared that the apparition she had given form to was to be the next German Messiah, who she produced to name as Adolf Hitler. So the Vril Society may have indeed paved the way for the person they would promote as the country's Messiah. Their next step would have to been to secure the ultimate weapon, Vril. They believed that they would give them power. This occult group of German nationalists may have grown quickly to become an elite inner circle of the Nazi Party. Many of the top leaders, including Hitler himself, were members of the Vril Society. Karl Heron Anton Dexler, these names, why can't you just be Bob Johnson? And Dietrich Eckart are three of the most important figures in the transition from the Vril Society to the Nazi Party. Eckart was considered the darkest of them all and dedicated to Hitler's success. He did have a certain perverse gift and did not least of which, hold on. Sorry, I had to burp. was his ability to train Hitler in the use of what you might loosely call the power of human heart and human mind. Hermann Göring, commander of the Luftwaffe, was said to be a member of its, virtually certain that he was introduced to it around 1920, probably by Dietrich Eckart and Alfred Rosenberg, minister of the Third Reich. He was also probably a member. Rosenberg believed that the Aryan race was superior. Shit. Did I just lose my spot? Aryan race was superior. Okay, there it is. To every other race, of course. He believed that Jesus was not Jewish, but an Aryan. Rudolf Hess, deputy Fuhrer, another likely member. Hess believed that everything he used to sleep with magnet. I was writing this in a hurry and I didn't use punctuation. So that's my bad. That's a one long ass continuous sentence. So I'm sorry, guys. So let's back up here. Rudolf Hess, deputy Fuhrer, another likely member. Hess believed everything. He used to sleep with magnets under his bed to try and draw off harmful emanations. Martin Bormann, chief of the Nazi Party, chancellery, also thought to be a member of. Martin Bormann was probably considered the most evil. He was an avowed and open Satanist. He was quite categorically about his desire to exterminate Christianity as well as Judaism, because he thought Christianity, as simply as he called it, Jewish perversion, and the most senior Nazi in the Vril society. Adolf Hitler himself was, by definition, a dark person, but he took advantage of the dark fellowship of the rural society for his own ends. Hitler is said to have used the frenzy surrounding this occult to his advantage, manipulating its members. Not one of the members had an iota of its ruthlessness and innocence intelligence. Italy used by any means that he could, including the occult fantasism of the era, as a tool to help his rise to the top. He saw the whole thing consciously as a means to the end, which was the transformation of Germany and the establishment himself as the leader. But he did have some deep occult beliefs to his own. He believed to considerable extent that the occult forces, or whatever one would call them, had some kind of reality. Some believe his first occult exposure happened just before World War I in Vienna, when he met a man named Lance von Liebenfels. Only Liebenfels, called Hitler, was a natural medium for Liebenfels, was obsessed with the area. He was known to frequent the ancient town of Cunningham in Austria, where Germans defeated the Romans in the first century. He invented a whole new religion that he called Ariasif, and he made his bizarre beliefs known publicly. He published a magazine called Ostera, which was full of racial ramblings, a bizarre occult philosophy. Hitler was allegedly an avid reader of Ebenfels' pamphlet. Liebenfels' pamphlet. He actually physically advocated that Jews should be killed, some before being Jewish. With his racist teaching, Hitler was one step closer to Vril and the final solution. But how is it possible that the Dark Fellowship, as bizarre as the Vril Society, could even exist, let alone contribute to the most evil regime in modern history, had an influence on world history? Out of all the proportion, the confusion surrounding the era offers clues to the Vril Society's influences. It is a very convoluted time. There were a multitude of secret societies from about 1888 well into the 1920s. Hundreds of these secret societies formed, reformed, and gave birth to new and even more secret subgroups. Some were dangerous nationalistic orders, like the Serbian Black Hand Society, responsible for the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria. The Black Hand Society was largely responsible for the First World War, and many of the era's dark fellowship was simply racist, sharing the sentiments of Lance von Liebs and Liebenfels. He believed the Aryans were gods. He also believed that Jews were literally children of the devil. So real quick, this, you got to think, a lot of this took place before we had an FBI or a CIA. And most of our intelligence in the late 1800s, early 1900s was military. Okay? But if you listen to what I'm reading here, this is very... To get off on a sub-subject of a tangent in a roundabout way, you know, I've talked about different things with Germans in our history versus Germany's history versus what happened after World War II, like Operation Paperclip. I did a show on that. Now, one could say that the belief in the Vril is comparative to some of the things we see today with our government. So in the sense of what I just read about secret societies and, you know, secret subgroups, some more dangerous nationalistic orders. So like the Serbian Black Hand Society was responsible. They assassinated. Okay, so World War One, if you don't know, was started because Archduke Franz Ferdinand was assassinated. And one thing led to another, World War One. So a lot of the tactics of the Vril and these different secret societies is very similar to what you see or what you don't see, I guess, are subset government doing now in other countries by trying to take out leaders. You know, look at like Muammar Gaddafi, for example. Look what's happening or trying to happen in Venezuela, so on and so forth. So the 30 years leading to the formation of the Vril Society was an era obsessed with a strange combination of racial solidarity, the occult, and the occult magic. Occult ideas dominated thinking of virtually every class in society in the late 19th century, but all of the mystics of the time. One person's writings may have been the genesis of the phenomenon. Occult frenzy, Madame Elena Petrova Blavatsky would say, you know, we would say that Blavatsky provided the metaphysical framework that has gathered together the vast stems of the ancient wisdom into a coherent system. Blavatsky founded the Theosophical Society in 1875 and established herself as kind of a sage in the occult realm. Theologists believed in a combination of Asian and occult ideas to promote the concept of a superior Aryan race. She traveled throughout the world. For spiritual reasons, Madame Blavatsky wrote several books, particularly influential ones, was The Secret Doctrine. It was based on the knowledge she acquired in India and Tibet. She claimed that she got her teachings from secret messages from the Mahatma in the Himalayas. This groundbreaking book, written in 1885, did something no other book had ever done. It combined science and religion. Some branches of the late 19th century Europe philosophy drew inspiration from the combination of the occult and Eastern mysticism. One leading proponent of these concepts was Madame Petrova Blavatsky, who managed to combine the perception of both religion and science. Certainly, science like Darwin had destroyed the possibility of religion. Blavatsky said, "You can still believe in evolution and yet be religious because it was how it works." Her writings included anti-Semitic notions that fueled later groups like the Vril Society. Secret Doctrine had a extreme racist view. Some interpret her writings to say that Semitic people had not evolved as far as Aryans, but she was actually writing of the ancient Aryans, whose Indo-Iranian name means Nobu. They had simply migrated further than any other race, and so they were more evolved. The misrepresentation of the area news, "We are the master race." Blavatsky's ancient Aryans were not the same as Hitler's 20th century Aryan race. The Secret Doctrine clearly had an anti-Semitic and racist undertones. This is the dangers of littering out of high truths because of the danger of misrepresentation. The Secret Doctrine was written as a spiritual teaching and a kind of esoteric study of evolution, not an inspiration for the master race, but the racial aspects for the ones that particularly obsessed, appealed to the Nazis. The world has shown the ghastly effects of twisting what is sacred knowledge and perverting it into one's own personal ends. When the Virtual Society was founded, Blavatsky's teaching were more popular in Germany than anywhere else in the world. Seriously, it was about the influential on German thought. It really was like the coming race, Blavatsky's book was misunderstood, and its ideas were twisted to support the many other racial philosophies rampant in Europe. So by the 1918s, the time was ripe for the formation of the Virtual Society and the search for ultimate power. The Virtual Society saw this power as a kind of metaphysical petrol. The Germans needed it because Germany was not known to have the fossil fuels reserves, and they had the method of creating and synthetic fuels, but they were in desperate need for other energies. In addition to their occult methods for finding this energy, they began an actual quest for an all-important viril. They followed in Blavatsky's footsteps to Tibet. Viril Society member Karl Haushofer organized expedition to the Tibet. Beginning in 1923, their mission contacting the Aryan forefathers in the cities deep underneath the Himalayas. They would certainly be a guardians of the Vril, and by the third trip, they were measuring the skulls of the locals, convinced the Tibetans with the Aryan ancestors. Eventually, Hitler formed a Nazi organization to track the Aryan race. They spent more money on that than the United States did on development of the atomic bomb. And that would equate to about $20 billion today. The work that frankly produced no tangible results. And so, in the end, Germans were left. But whether they found Vril, whether they found Vril there or not, Germans did bring back one important thing from Tibetan cultures, something Blavatsky had waxed poetically about in The Secret Doctrine. Within this mystical presence lies the master key, which opens the door of every science physical as well as spiritual. How could Madame Blavatsky have known this mystical figure would become the symbol of hate? A great many of the Virtual Society members were conscience Satanists, and these evil men were emblazoned with a symbol, the swastika. Its mystical renaissance was a great interest to the Virtual Society, and by the 1920s, it would virtually belong to the Nazis. Previously, though, the swastika had been a symbol of luck and good fortune in Asia. A lot of persons these days forget that before it became an ominous symbol in the Nazi Germany. The swastika was to be found everywhere. It was originally meant as a symbol of good fortune. It took on a very tangible meaning, that of the letter, similar to the letter G, and for the Freemasons, the word geometry. Not only did it stand for geometry and math, but it also stood for the Nordic and Old Norse gods. It was a symbol of Thor. There was a village in Canada called Swastika, and they had a female hockey team called the Swastikas, with the swastika embroidered on their skirts, and it makes a lovely photo in 1920. It was no longer a benign symbol. In adopting the swastika, the Nazis did make one significant alteration. Hitler and his cohorts did one thing. They changed the direction of the swastika. It no longer turned to the right. His concept of the swastika was very influential. Hitler's swastika turned in the opposite direction to the left, and the left-hand path is synonymous with the evil of the left-hand path, which is something that clearly derives from Roman mythology and affect all mythologies where the evil gods are centered on the left side of the good. Centered on the right side is Hitler's swastika. In 1920, it quickly became embedded in Nazi culture and the variations of it has become known as a sign of the Vril Society. It's found here in Wolfsburg Castle, the home of Heinrich Himmler. I'm going to take a drink real quick. Talking about his Nazism make me thirsty. Heinrich Himmler was the commander of the SS and a suspected member of the Vril Society. He was frantically searching for various means of winning the war. In the end, one can say it turned him insane. Although, in my opinion, the seeds of his insanity were already there. I mean, if you know the history of Himmler, you'll understand what I'm saying. Himmler, of course, was probably the most lunatic of any senior Nazi party member. He was a mystical dreamer, and he was a real junkie for every cult, every wacky idea going on, and he was an architect of the Nazi ideology. There are fascinating photos. This I've never understood. Similar to his, a 12-year-old daughter visiting a concentration camp. So there's pictures of him taking his daughter to a concentration camp, a death camp. Now, you know, who in the hell would ever think to take your daughter, a young daughter at that, to a death camp? Perhaps only a man obsessed with absolute power would do that. And such a man would be the perfect candidate to renovate the 16th century castle as a Vril centerpiece. Within this castle, we find a richness of symbols and science and occult things of significance that point towards his, while the fulfillment of his dreams, the North Tower holds the darkest symbols. North Tower clearly is the embodiment of all Himmler felt was dear and precious to him, and it points towards the significance in his philosophies. A feature of the tower was a solar wheel or black sun, the occult symbol for the Vril Society. Clearly the sun wheel meant a great deal to Heinrich Himmler. What the sun really meant... there's a microphone there, now. Sorry. What the sun wheel exactly was, who can tell? However, likely to impress members of the SS visiting the castle, the SS was seen by Himmler as part of a mystical order. Himmler wanted on imposing headquarters for his SS cohorts. He performed weddings and funerals for them. Here it's alleged that even a full black mass was set up of being performed at Babelsberg on one or two... Two or three occasions, but that ultimate satanic ritual was celebrated at Babelsberg. It would have been undertaken in another part of the tower, in the crypt. In this bizarre room, with excellent acoustics, Himmler created a frightening arena for his elite SS men. There were pedestals around the sides, placed possibly for attending rituals and Vril Society meetings, and a particular space in the center, probably for Himmler himself. But the crazy part is the sense that if this is the center where the acoustics work the best, most seeing this as what would be the purpose of the center would be for him to talk about his wildest dreams. This nightmarish place was the focus of all things Vril. Himmler did construct it to be the place where the most despicable rituals could take place. This, of course, is one of these things that will never be known. Certain it was here that Himmler held his notorious Vril experiments. A doctor called Rasha, who was used to literally freeze prisoners until they were at the point of death. And then he would put naked prostitutes against their bodies to see if that would revive them. And if it did, they were instructed to have sex with them. And then all the temperature would be taken by Himmler. He called it animal magnetism. But it was essentially Vril-based. Himmler may have searched for Vril through sexuality, of course. it was ridiculous because 50% of the male subjects had died during the experiments, were undoubtedly inspired by Himmler's subscription to the notion of Rill, where these experiments held in Himmler's castle or elsewhere within the castle walls. Unfortunately, there's no written records or living eyewitnesses to reveal with certainty what occurred within the walls of Himmler's Vallesburg. The Vril Society was unique among the secret societies in the era. One reason was that it included women as members, and that stands ready as any man to fight and die for the service of fatherhood, or I'm sorry, of the fatherland. And you know this is true. There were probably more women than there were men in many respects, which was very important to realize because a lot of Masonic groups were male only, and a lot of other groups were male only. But only the Vril Society, after all, the females in the coming race, was superior to the males. Women were seen really in a way as being almost divine. Women would have been welcome because their feminine energy was required to properly attain. I try to combine one word there, propane. Vril. But Hitler's personal views was for more practical. He actually felt that women were actually the soul of the nation, and they were going to carry on the legacy of the National Socialism. It believed that two women became senior leaders of the Vril Society. Prominence led to their death. I'm sorry, did I skip something? Yeah, Countess von Ravenclaw was possibly the most well-known one, and possibly that her prominence led to her death. She suffered a mysterious fatal bicycle accident in 1918, shortly after Vril Society was in operation. As she got him executed, Countess von Riffen, Love's assassinations, were members of the German Communist Party, were strongly opposed to the National Socialists. Ludendorff's wife there was the only other one that was comparable. Important that she broke with the Vril Society at a fairly early stage. That may have been when her husband, Erich Ludendorff, became disillusioned with politics and left the Vril Society and the Nazi Party in 1923. Most of the women in the Vril Society served two primary purposes. Sex was seen as a national duty following World War I. One primary purpose of women in Germany was to replace the lost soldiers by having many German babies. That was actually a huge drive towards birth to increase productivity, and the prospect of making babies took on an element of fun. At the time, anything could be an escape or fun would be the Vril Society. May have taken fun a step further into sex. For occult power is combined with the pleasure. It was kind of a nationalization of the sexual instinct, and the dark fellowship sexual instinct might invite sexual magic. Women in the Vril Society were often mediums. In an era obsessed with the occult, there were many practicing mediums. Mediums were typically women with the secret society dabbing in the occult rampant through Germany in the 1930s. Successful mediums were in great demand in the Vril Society. They held such women in high esteem. They were considered to be particularly receptive channels between the ordinary world and the astral world. It sounds like a fascinating and novel concept, but clearly it is not. In Germany, we had female mediums doing exactly that. They didn't have any political influence in any way. What they essentially did was try and channel the Vril power, then translating out into the rest of the people in the room, kind of a psychic photosynthesis, one might say. One bizarre legend suggests that female founders of the group were receiving messages about the Vril from other galaxies. It has been alleged that the Vril Society was able to contact beings from other worlds, and so on. So that depends to the certain extent on your point of view. It is not strange that these ideas would evolve or mutate into ideas of long-haired women communicating with other underneath the Earth and other planets. Why? God damn it, I keep losing my spot here. Why not? It makes a better story. It's more fun of the idea of two long-haired mediums communicating with other galaxies through automatic writing. Was not so outrageous in 1918. There is the fascinating book that we know of. It was published in 1823. It's called The Voyages to the Sun, the Moon, and Other Planets. It was written by a female medium, and at the time in 1823 is amazing itself because there wasn't many female writers back then. So clearly, the idea that two female mediums are involved in communicating with interstellar civilizations on other worlds in 1917 is not new. And long hair had a long tradition. The long hair of a woman, partly a throwback, of course, to the old days of Valkyries, maidens, and so on, is wondered how much of this borrowing from the Varga naturally. Not all women of the Vril Society were long-haired beauties, but all the Vril Society legends and everything surrounding the organizations were larger than life. Exaggeration was part of the plan, and that exaggeration included Heinrich Himmler's Nightmare's Castle. This all could have been staged from the setting of Hitler's plans and Himmler's evil dreams. Very clever play propaganda. Propaganda was an integral part of the entire Nazi culture, ensuring that the Third Reich would survive in the darkest dreams. So what was real and what, if anything, has become of the Vril Society? The problem is that research in the Vril Society today is not that clearly. This concept attracts people of unsavory characters. Today, there are many people still obsessed with the Nazis and Hitler and most of the evil and blah, blah, blah. This is why I hate fucking reading. I like just going off the fucking script here. But, you know, this is something that I wrote down. So, and obviously, you know, writing it over a period of time, I fucked up. Okay. Sorry. And the most evil side of the account, they intermingle legend, fantasy, and propaganda with a sacred facts. Some also believe that it's possible that intergalactic flight could be achieved. The Real Society of Nazis were, at the very last 2 years of the war, working on a secret project. Their ultimate scheme was a flying disc project, a concept based on the Vril Society ideas. We can clearly read that 1930s published by the Vril Society that, yes, there were blueprints. There's even a whole chapter explaining what an ideal spaceship might look like to them. The right technology was being used. So the Vril sources were actually blueprints. I know that devices for both with the technology that the Vril Society was propagating well before the Second World War. We don't know whether the Nazi scientists created a flying saucer, but the Vril Society did envision them. So real quick, I'm going to stop right there. I did a show a while back. And I think what I'm going to do while I'm on vacation, after this publishes, I think I might go ahead and pop that one in, just in case you haven't heard it. It's called Die Glock. I don't recall exactly when I did it, but it was last year sometime. So I'm going to pull that up, and I'm going to play that for you. So with this is going to pro this is going to air on the 14th of September, the 14th of March. Now, like I told you in the last show, I'm doing all this early. I'm recording all this, you know, well before I went on vacation. So I think I'll pull that Glock show, and that might get aired Sunday. So if today's Thursday, the 14th, so 15, 16, so it'd be 18th, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 15, 16, 17, be the 17th. Anyway, back to what I'm saying. So the whole Nazi UFO myth is, on the other hand, there are certain pills that we still find hard to discount, but the evidence is vanished. The strange thing is that we know that these devices were built, but we can't find them anywhere anymore. It has been suggested that real technology, it was adapted for the U.S. and Russian space programs. So we're left to wonder, what became of the real technology? And what became of the real society? Well, the irony of history is that the Nazi Germany, towards the end of the world, were pretty much evolved in becoming the failure of themselves. In some ways, Hitler's Nazis did become a subterranean society. They built bunkers connecting one Nazi member to another, and countless tunnels containing weapon factories. They did this is the official stance because Allied bombers were bombing German cities and German factories to smithereens day after day, night after night. One place they built weapons in a tunnel complex in Nordhaus. We know that they built the V-1 V-2 rockets, with hundreds of very real V-1 and V-2 rockets being built underground, soared through the skies and destroyed their enemies. It has been said that the V stands for real. If true, the Nazis and the Rilla have become one of the theories that is the search for the Force, changed themselves into well carriers of the Fourth for more than 60 years after the fall of the Third Reich. Where are the remnants of the real society? Are they gone? Or are the ancient relics hiding them somewhere? Does a new regime exist among us, still plotting and scheming? When you look at the tapestry of signals they were receiving, that we have received over the years, one can say that, yes, there still is a full society, but not comparable to what we once that was once before. There still could be devotees of a fictional power amongst us. Today, Viril in itself has been there. Yesterday, it is still today, until belief does exist. Every atom is basically 99% Viril energy. Today in America, a small religious organization exists called the Church of Virology, where Bob... relation to Bob Johnson. The Vril Master calls on the Norse gods for Vril balance and how they seem to be different. So this is just a coup. I'm not even going to worry about the Bob the Vril guy. Here's my connection. Do I believe that the Vril Society is alive today? Yes, I do. And here's why. As I've read you all this stuff, and when I replay the Die Glock show, you'll get a sense of what I'm talking about, because it is of my opinion, take it for what it's worth, that the U.S. and Russia took these individuals. We stowed them away. Now, there's also a theory that Nazis escaped to Australia, to Antarctica. Fuck, I couldn't think of it. And it's interesting because there are some people that believe in what we call a hollow earth. I'm not one of them, so don't stop listening. I not necessarily believe in the round earth, but I don't believe in the hollow earth. So take that for what it's worth. But there are some people that believe that in Antarctica, there's a certain point where you can't, like, how do I want to phrase this? If if the D-Tom show wanted to charter a boat and go to Antarctica, okay? And let's not even say we charter a boat. Let's say we had a boat. We would get to Antarctica, unless we were on an official tour boat to go to Antarctica, we'd be turned away. Because every country in this world has signed a treaty that says no one is allowed on the continent of Antarctica without express written permission. Why is that? Now, I do believe, now that I'm speaking of this, this will be a show to come in the future. But there are some beliefs that the Nazis retreated to different parts of the world. Some, I mean, we know for a fact they came to America. We know for a fact they went to Russia. We believe they went to Argentina. And then there are some people that believe they went to Antarctica. Now, let's visit the Antarctica aspect of this. Let's say they did, and they took their technology with them, and they had created spacecraft and space travel, or what we adhere to as space travel. What if, just asking a question here, what if these spacecrafts that we believe we see, or that we think we see, or that we know we see, aren't necessarily interstellar, but they're interterrestrial? Is that the word? That they're of this planet, and that they're flying in from the hollow Earth in Antarctica, if you believe that. Even if there's not a quote-unquote hollow Earth per se, but what if there is a base of some sort where they're testing this technology? And as far as the Vril is concerned, and what happens, and the sacrificing of the children, and the space programs, and stuff like that, look at your own governments. I'm not even just talking about this country. If you're listening to this in Russia, or China, or, you know, wherever, same thing goes. We know of stories. In this country alone, we can talk about the space program. We can talk about secret societies. We can talk about what celebrities, we believe celebrities do with young children, and even politicians for that matter. So who's to say that the Vril Society isn't real, that it is still a practicing organization in the depths of the super elites? I mean, it's something to think about. You hear about Bohemian Grove, you hear about these different situations, and, you know, Epstein, Pizzagate, so on and so forth. And I'm not just talking about politicians, I'm talking about celebrities. You hear these rumors of things. What if all of that stuff is true, and what if it all has to do with this? I know it's something very much to think about, for sure, because it's very interesting, to say at least. And for some reason, I'm all verklempt. I'm starting to sound like Bill Clinton. Excuse me. Too much talking. That's what it is. Too much talking, not enough whiskey drinking. So, on that note, guys, I'm going to close out the show. You guys have a fantastic day, as I am steadily losing my voice. You guys have a great day. Make sure you follow us on the social media platforms at Don't Tread on America on Facebook, Instagram, True Social, and the Ticker Talker. And don't forget about the Twitter X machine at DTOM_1775. And also the website, DontTreadOnAmerica.com. Guys, don't forget about our sponsors, ReaperApparelCo.com and the DTOM store. Links for everything I just talked about is on the podcast app and what you're listening to this on. And speaking of which, make sure you're following the show, and then make sure you share this with your friends. Other than that, guys, you have a fantastic day. And I'm going to keep drinking whiskey. You guys have a great day, and I'll talk to you later. See ya.